Excuse me, Mr. Chairman, before we start, do you want to comment on rearranging the agenda and our time constraints this afternoon, please?
Yes. What we have decided to do is move item 13 to the end of the agenda because it's not an action item. It's informational. It's meant for board discussion. And so we want to take, we're going to go item 12, jump right to item 14, then item 15, and then follow with 14 at the end because we want to leave here at 20 minutes to 3. Right? We want to stop the meeting at 20 to 3 so we can get together, gather our things, and go on this field trip, which is mentioned on page 5 of our
agenda.
Right.
That's what I just wanted to point out to the members of the public that it's not a separate agenda item, but it is under field trip on page 5, and we'll be a quorum of the board there.
Okay. All right. So item 12, Mr. Packard.
Okay. I just want to mention quickly a few things. This is a large violations listing because we skipped a meeting, and so it's a double dose of violations. I was planning to go through and pick out some of the highlights, as Mr. Jordan suggested last time, but it turns out there are no Class 1 violations in there, so I pointed that out in a paragraph there. I mentioned this morning there were some errors on the Montecito. Carpinteria also is listed in here, and those aren't real violations either. They had a little misunderstanding about what the monitoring requirements actually required, and they were doing a little too much, and it turns out they weren't violations after all. But I also wanted to mention the ag road enforcement down there. The staff report, we issued 6 complaints for ACLs against farming operations who had failed to pay their monitoring fees. So they enrolled, but failed to comply with the cooperative monitoring program. And we ended up settling those, finally. It took a lot of work and a lot of back and forth. We'd sent them notices of violation, offers to sell, but it wasn't until they were faced with a board hearing and having to come here and face a fine that they were actually willing to sit down and pay their fees. So all of them actually paid the past due fees, which was a benefit of settling. If they came before the board and the board issued a penalty, none of that goes to the cooperative monitoring program. So they were able to pay those past due fees and some minor amount of penalty on top of that. A couple of actions that have occurred since I wrote this, but you'll see on the next one that I'll just mention, are a case in Monterey County where a farming operation there graded a stream. They tried to straighten it and remove some vegetation, and Fish and Game noticed it and wrote a report on it and recommended that to the DA for enforcement. So the DA was taking action. We got involved in discussions with the discharger and the DA, and at the same time we settled Clean Water Act violations. The overall penalty was $350,000, and $85,000 of that came to settle our violations and went to the cleanup and abatement account. So that, I think, was a good benefit to us. I heard about the case at a regional task force meeting, which we try to attend as many as we can. There are task forces that meet in Monterey County, Santa Barbara County, and San Luis Obispo County. It's a good opportunity where we can sit down and see where other agencies are having problems on issues similar to ours, and we can get together and take common enforcement actions sometimes. And there are also 2 MMPs that Mr. Harris signed recently, one for San Juan Batista and one for CMC again. The good news is CMC is in construction with their ultraviolet light disinfection, so they'll be getting rid of the chlorine process and hopefully almost all of their violations that they're chronically having. So other than that, if you have any questions, I'll be happy to attempt to answer.
Dr. Hunter and then Mr. Johnston.
Thanks, Harvey, for the summary update. I do have 2 questions on the ag order.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll just fire the questions off and then you can answer them. The first one, I think is more, has more implications for how the forms might reflect, or the information that has to be filed, how those reflect operators that cease to farm during a given year,
right.
or the partial, you know, operation of a partial year. So how does the form reflect that? Then the second question I have, maybe just a unique thing, and that concerns the idea that someone put the wrong name on their report, and that then meant that your enforcement action was directed to the wrong person. Yeah. And I mean, is that just one of a kind thing, or is that something that can be prolific in the process? I don't know.
It may not be uncommon, especially in some of the older records. I think the operations that are using the ENOI, that's pretty good data. But for instance, one of these that we looked at, the paper NOI had been signed by a pest control advisor, so acting on their behalf. What we assume happened there is that the farmer wanted some pesticide sprayed. The operator, the PCA, went to the county to get the permit. The county said, "Are you enrolled in the ag order?" And they said, "I have no idea." So they came in and enrolled. The PCA signed the enrollment, went and did the spraying, and the operator may not have understood exactly what was involved in enrollment. I don't think that relieved him of the responsibility, because we sent letters, all kinds of notifications, still didn't get any activity with the cooperative monitoring. So that may not be uncommon, especially in some of the older enrollments. And on the first question, we did see that also. There were some of the farm operations where they had ceased operation a couple of years ago and never submitted their notice of termination. And again, the ones that are up to date with their ENOIs, that's not an issue, but there are some of the older enrollments that still have some issues with the data.
So over time, those are going to probably be screened out, and we'll see less and less of that?
I think so, yeah.
Thank you.
Mr. Johnston.
Yeah.
A couple of different questions, Harvey. First of all, on I'm glad to note that we settled the ACLs on the cooperative monitoring fees. And forgive me if I missed it in the staff report, but can you give me a sense of where we are overall on the cooperative monitoring fees,
mm-hmm.
in terms of, I know they've been sending us their billings for quite a while, and these are really the first ones we've actually taken through the whole process.
Right.
What's out there in terms of people who are not paying, and where are we going with it? And is there, I guess, a follow-up question, if it's a good chunk, is there a way we can get the farmers to be part of helping us track these folks down? And
Tracking them down is not that difficult. The ones who are enrolled, it's fairly easy to tell whether they are paying their CMP fees or not. That's not a problem. We know who the violators are according to the paperwork. Situation is there are a small number of violators that go back several years. They're chronically behind on their CMP fees. Some of them may have finished farming and never told us. There's a smaller number of current operations that are behind for 1 year, and we suspect, as you know, they'll get an NOV and a lot of them will come into compliance. But what you see is there are very few that owe a lot of money. So it's a curve that it's very, there's a few at the top and then it goes down very quickly, and there's a whole bunch that owe $100 or $200.
So we're obviously not going to spend a lot of resources chasing the people that owe $100.
No.
My question is, so what's roughly the total number of farmers enrolled, and what's our number of farmers that are kind of in that top tier that owe thousands of dollars?
I'll let Lisa answer the first question. The ones that are in the top tier are probably less than a dozen.
Okay.
Now, if you talk in the top tier is more than, say, $5,000. And those, there are a few that we're working on currently that we're going to be going after, but it's not a whole lot that owe a lot of money.
And we're prior- prioritizing them based on how much they owe, essentially.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Which is the same as prioritizing on size, basically.
And are we publicizing when are we getting, first of all, when we settle, are we getting like some fees from them and such so that it's more painful for them to pay us later than to pay cooperative monitoring?
Yeah, they had to pay their fees plus a penalty. So there was a penalty involved, and we did send out media notices. It was interesting, we sent two notices. One, when we sent the complaints out, and we heard from several farmers who had names similar to the ones that were listed in the complaints, and they said, that's not me, right? And so people were looking. And then we sent out a second media notice when we resolved them all, and we're trying to get the word out there. Yeah.
Okay. Good. All right.
It was in several papers, made TV news in several areas, including the Salinas area.
Good. That's important. Yeah. Second question, what's going on with the city of Paso Robles sewage wastewater treatment plant? I see three pages of violations in the enforcement report.
What's going on there is kind of what Dr. McGowan was talking about. They're running an ancient plant. They're in the process of upgrading. I got an email from from Matt Thompson. Some of you may remember him. Mm-hmm. He's running the upgrade. They're moving right along. They've got contractors pre-approved to submit bids. And the next step is to send out the bid packages to get the bids back. So they've got their rate increase in place. They're moving slowly and steadily. There's a lot of steps that have to happen before they can start construction. One of the first was to get a rate increase, and that was successful. They've got the design done, the bid package together, so he was very optimistic that they're going to...
So we're not waiting for enforcement because we feel like they're actually dealing with the problem.
There are mandatory minimum penalties that they're paying, but we're not suggesting anything on top of that.
Okay, and the other question is, what's going on with the Salinas Industrial Wastewater Treatment Plant? I see that they're somewhat significantly over their permitted capacity. Is that new news? Is that old news? Is that just that they're doing more processing in Salinas than they used to?
That's not
less efficiently.
I've got it here. Report was focused. That's something I'd have to look into. I'm not sure what's going on there. I know that typically those industrial facilities are seasonal. They get a lot of canning wastes it was probably tomato harvest time or something like
no,
that.
No, it's fresh. It's salad plants, basically.
Okay.
Salad plants, broccoli processing.
So I'd have to do some research on that one.
Okay. All right. Mr. Delgado.
Yeah. Easy question. You mentioned that there's about 1,000 farmers who are in compliance, and you said there's a whole lot of $100, $200 in debt or owing us. How many farmers are not in compliance compared to the 1,000 that are?
Well, I'd say it's more than 1,000 are, but the ones that are past due fees, there's probably, I'm going to guess, around 200 that are behind on one invoice. And 40 to 50 that are behind on more than one invoice.
Okay, so it's largely successful so far.
Yeah, and especially if you look at on an acreage basis, really successful.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I have one speaker card. Does that conclude the report?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Kira Redmond. And if any other member of the public wishes to address us on this item, please fill out a card and submit it up here to Mr. Thomas.
Okay. Good afternoon, Chair, members of the board. Sorry I didn't say this earlier, but welcome to Santa Barbara. It's always nice to have you in our town for one of your meetings. I'm very sorry that the one day of the year that you're meeting here in Santa Barbara, one of the three beaches is closed because of a massive sewage spill. The beach actually where most people go surfing and paddleboarding almost every day. Channel Keeper has testified before this board in the past about the city's significant SSO problem. and we urged you to take enforcement action against the city to compel some sort of action to deal with this problem. Well, as you know, that never happened, so Channel Keeper took it upon ourselves to file a citizen suit under the Clean Water Act against the city for violations of its NPDES permit for the stormwater system as well as the sewage treatment plant for these excessive sewage spills, as well as a rampant problem of exfiltration of pipes underground, leaking sewage into our storm drains that then lead to our creeks and beaches. That lawsuit was filed in 2011, and after about a year, we did settle. In a court enforceable consent decree, one of the elements of that decree is that the city has to ramp down the number of spills over the five-year term. The SSO performance goal for 2012 was 18, and unfortunately, this one that we have here today, that actually happened this weekend, is number 19. So I just wanted to put this on your radar again. You know, while citizen groups like Channel Keeper do have recourse under the Clean Water Act to take enforcement action, we need your help. So we need to get these kind of violations under control, especially with repeat offenders like the City of Santa Barbara's SSO problem. So I just wanted to flag this as a sort of ask you to put this on an elevated enforcement look moving forward. Thank you.
Kira, under the consent decree, is there any repercussions to the city for going over the 18?
We'll be looking very closely at that, and we'll let you know.
Okay.
But yes.
Okay. Thank you. Yes, Harvey.
I can respond a little bit if you want to that.
Okay.
We asked the State Board Office of Enforcement, they have a, I think they call it SIU, Special Investigations Unit, to look into City of Santa Barbara's collection system. So that is one of their outstanding, it's on their list of things to do. It's not like we've been ignoring the situation here. So I wanted to mention that, and we're also aware of the Leadbetter spill, and that's something we'll be taking a look at also.
Okay. All right. Why don't we move to item 14,